Science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful what you whisper.
Yes, indeed, everyone. Good evening, and let's get started with our guest this evening. Barbara DeLong is in the house, and I think you're going to find this episode to be a little bit enlightening. So sit back and relax, and let's welcome our guest to the show, Barbara DeLong.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Have you ever run across a person in life where you said to yourself, "Have I met you before?" And then you start to talk and you realize that you have a lot in common and you are wondering, maybe this isn't a coincidence, maybe we have met before. My guest this evening, Barbara DeLong, has been a seeker of the mysteries of spirituality as well as a practitioner for over a half a century. During that time, she has become an internationally known podcast host on her show, Nightlight Radio. She is an author, artist, lecturer, ordained minister, and documentarian. She has come up with something very creative. She painted a deck of cards called the Cosmic Deck of Initiation, which is a hand-painted deck of Mandela Oracle cards to be used when she does or when you might do a private divination and spiritual growth reading. On Barbara's website, she has a teaching site combining personal information and a plethora of spiritual material intended to supply insight and light, laughter and love for all those seeking their own personal pathway within the spiritual spheres. Barbara is a very interesting guest, and I know that you're going to sit back and go, "Have I met this person before?" So as they say, relax, have a seat, and let's get into our conversation tonight with my guest, Barbara DeLong. Well, good evening, Barbara, and thank you so much for being on the show today.
My pleasure, totally.
Oh, this should be a real exciting show tonight, everyone, because we are going to actually delve into some topics that we haven't really talked about before. And I felt Barbara was probably the best out of everyone to be able to bring it home for us. So, Barbara, get ready, because we're going for a nice little ride here. So, Barbara is, she's got a very extensive background, and as you've seen in the introduction, she's had her hands in many different things. And so we're going to talk a little bit about some of these things as we move through our segment. And as always, Barb, I want to talk a little bit about first where potentially this all began for you in terms of the evolvement of where you were years ago and where you're at right now.
Well, I think I had I've always been sensitive. I've always been able to not pick the lottery numbers for sure, but I've always known things. I've always been aware of things. And when I was in college, a UFO landed on my campus. And it was one of the authenticated UFO landings. J. Allen Hynek was out there. It was not swamp gas. And when this UFO, it landed on the baseball field, and when it took off, it zoomed right over my dorm. And the windows were open. We were, of course, hanging out because there were police and everything all over the place. Mm-hmm. It was almost midnight. And it was fascinating. So many of the girls were screaming, running around, hiding under beds. Don't know why. But they were terrified. And I was standing there looking at it and saying, oh, my gosh, there's something more out there. There's something beyond us. And I didn't want a book passage or anything, but you know, I was fascinated. And the girl standing right next to me did not see it.
Oh, that's interesting. Barb, once again, would you tell us approximately what year that was and what state that was in, or where were you at that time?
Sure. It's going to date the hell out of me. It was 1966.
Okay.
And it was in Michigan, Ypsilanti, Michigan.
Michigan. Okay.
And there were spots. There were spottings all over the place. Most of them were termed swamp gas, and there is such a thing as swamp gas. But this was a solid object, and when it went over the dorm, it blanked out the sky.
Interesting.
And it's like it kind of hung there, and then it was gone. No noise, no air displacement, no nothing. It was just. It flicked.
Question for you. Was it, everyone describes these UFO craft sightings, of course, as silver in nature, circular. Some even describe them as triangular. What was this, that circular one? And was it silver?
This was a saucer shape. It was silver and colors radiated around it. Red and green and blue. They just kind of glowed from the hull. I've often said to people it was so close. If it had had a VIN number, I probably could have read it. It was that close. It was within at least, it was in within 200 feet, mm-hmm. if not closer. Mm-hmm. And of course, the fact that I saw a UFO and it was not reported in any of the newspapers or anything like that, it, the police were there with their dogs. They patrolled the campus for the whole rest of the evening. And the next day there was no mention of it anyplace.
Interesting. And what I find more interesting is did you say that some people actually did not see it?
Girl standing right next to me. I said, did you see that? And she said, what are you talking about?
That's interesting.
Well, what in retrospect I'm looking at is the fact that I think that there's a level of awareness / consciousness mm-hmm. that you are either prepared or not to see certain things. Mm-hmm. And I think UFOs are one of them.
No, I agree with you.
So it was kind of like, and I think Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where the very end part where the guy is pulled out of the bushes and put mm-hmm. on the ship, and people are saying, you know, well, he doesn't have training, he doesn't have background, and the response is, but he was invited. And I think in a way, that's what seeing that ship did to me. It invited me to go further in awareness. I prefer awareness to consciousness. You know, lots of people use them interchangeably. I think awareness is a more spiritual level and consciousness is a more brain-operated procedure. So I go with the awareness. And from then on, I did what every other well-bred young lady who went to college in the 60s did. I got married. Mm-hmm. I had a baby. Mm-hmm. I taught school. Yeah. And then I divorced my husband and took on a life of my own. But until I took off and, you know, left my husband. But it was sort of like, this life is not what I'm meant to do. But I did teach school. Handicapped children for 25 years. Mm-hmm. And during that time, I did studies in the paranormal. I became an ordained minister. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of stuff. And then at one point I had a car accident and I was in this field then full time.
You know what? There's things that are just popping all over me right now in terms of questions. And I'm trying to go, I want to go back a little bit. You said something earlier that actually I think a lot of people, including myself, can relate to. And that aspect is the invitation, I would call it the invitation of awareness. And you know, the only reason why I'm questioning this a little bit is because, I mean, many of you out there can understand what we're talking about right now. I have seen evolvement in my awareness with various invitations, including most recent, just about the time I think I'm taking a rest from it all, something seems to occur that invites me to go further or look further into the aspect. So I'm going to go back to you for a second here, and I want to ask about these invitations or invitation to go further into it. So would you consider yourself to be, or at least over time, evolved or evolving from various invitations that you had not really maybe cared about at the time, but struck your curiosity?
I think for a long time, I felt like I didn't belong here, that you know, this is not home.
Yeah.
And so I've always been very, very conscious of synchronicities.
Yeah.
And when something happens, I pay attention to it. I am guided by them. I have always, you know, I didn't go to school to become a psychic or a medium or an empath or any of that.
Right.
It just happened.
Right.
And as far as any of the stuff that has happened to me in the last 50 or 60 years, it's all because I've been aware that I was invited to go another direction.
Yep.
And so I've always done it. And sometimes it is struck people as very strange, and at other times not so. I have been on the East Coast forever.
Mm-hmm.
And my son lives in Nashville, and he had 3 years ago, he was there for a meeting of some sort, and we had dinner, and he said, "So what's new?" And I said, "I'm selling the house." And he said, "Where are you going to go?" And I said, "Nashville." He said, "Mother, you're a northerner." And I said, "I know that. And on top of that, all of the spiritual stuff should be really cool." And he said, "Yeah, if they don't burn you at the stake." And I said, no, that's not going to happen. And so put my house up for sale. It was on the market for a year and a half.
Yeah.
And the day, and of course, in that year and a half, I haunted the realtors and everything else in Nashville area. And the day that I got an offer on the house is the day that I saw the condo I'm in now. Mm-hmm. And I called my son and I said, "My condo's just been reduced. Buy it." And he said, "Do you want to fly out and see it?" And I said, "Nope, it's mine." And he said, that's a big stretch, Mom. And I said, "My money."
Yeah.
And so he did. And when I got out here, and I love it, it's perfect. It's like 3,000 square feet. It's actually bigger than the house I sold. And when I was walking around after I had, you know, everything had been moved in and everything, and I found that there was a cemetery in my backyard,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was fabulous. It's an mm-hmm. old cemetery from the 1700s, 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And there was only one tombstone that I could read, and that was of a Thomas Smiley.
Mm-hmm.
And because a friend and I do genealogy work, we thought we'd look him up and see, you know, just what he did. Turns out he had a sister named Hattie, mm-hmm. and Hattie was married to a man named Aaron DeLong, who just happened to be an ancestor of mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to my son, "I'm more Southern than you are. I have kin buried in the backyard."
Right, right, right. You know, just the gutsiness to do that. Did you say a minute ago, because I have used this terminology even with myself, did you say that you haunted some of these places, or that you went into some of these places that became haunted?
No. I haunted the internet.
That's what I was
for real estate things, and I was an expert on every condo that was for sale in this area, and it was ridiculous. They still send me, you know, ads of places that are for sale. I keep telling them, I'm living here. Stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no, it was 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours a day that my friend Jeannie and I were on the internet looking for where was the right place for me.
Yeah, that's it. I find it, but now that you're there, did you feel when you arrived that you somehow made the right move?
Oh, the one of the things that I wanted to be was by water. And mm-hmm. of course, that's hard to do in Nashville. And then the more I wandered around, it turns out right next to the cemetery is a stream. Mm-hmm. So I got my water. And so I have running water at certain times of the year. Mm-hmm. And my son keeps calling it a drainage ditch. I call it a stream. Mm-hmm. I think it's a stream. At least it's on the map as a stream. So it's really kind of you do create your reality by your perspective of it.
Yes.
And what you put out there, you draw to yourself.
Yes.
And I mean, it's one of those cosmic laws that a lot of people don't realize, you know,
right.
And you know, if you don't like what you're doing or where you are, change it. Mm-hmm. Don't complain. Just change it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I know that that's not as easy as it sounds. But
well, and a lot of people try to manifest things, right? And then they get impatient because the manifestation's not happening right off the bat, you know, or 2 days after they made the intention out there. And sometimes, and I've noticed, I don't know if you've noticed this in yourself, but yes, I agree with you. There are times when you get this feeling or this draw and you're not quite sure why, and maybe the answer comes clear later on. And this can pertain to just about anything, whether it's a human being, a job, a place to live, your backyard with what looks like to me some type of a relative. I mean, it's just very interesting. Did you ever look up to see if you have some kind of history where you're at and that's why you were drawn there?
As far as genealogical stuff,
mm-hmm.
absolutely not.
Mm.
Now, past lives, that's a whole nother ball of wax.
Mm-hmm.
Easily, I could have been in this area. But I have taken such joy in celebrating the gifts that I've got. Mm-hmm. And every now and then, there's another gift that crops up and it's like, right. Well, let's play with this for a while.
Right.
So it's sort of like, the old saying, follow your bliss and you're never, you know, you can't go wrong. And it's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's really true. And you don't have to, and I tell people never, don't quit your job. It may not be the right job for you, but at least you can eat and wear clothes. So, you know, follow your bliss according to what you can afford to do.
What do you think is your strongest gift that you have? We all say, I mean, I've learned over time, literally, that I had gifts finally since the age of, I guess, age of 3, 5, whatever, but I just didn't realize what they were at the time. What are your strongest gifts that you've evolved into or came to recognize?
I think channeling is one of the main ones.
Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I can open to spirit in a heartbeat. I don't need to meditate, chant, light candles, and, you know, stir my pot. I click in automatically with you know, in a heartbeat. And that's a tremendous gift. And then my sense of humor helps a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I've always been really good at surrounding myself with people who will not let me get out of hand as far as an ego goes.
So, Barbara, another thing that I want you to talk a little bit about, let's start with your books. I know that you have a couple books out there. Normally, at the end of the show, I would have the guest mention their books, but I want Barbara to just mention little bits and pieces about each of these, and then we'll get back into some general topics. So what book would you like to talk about first?
Well, the first book I wrote was Whispers of Spiritual Wisdom, which is a book of short spiritual philosophies along with poetry. And my husband saw them on my computer and he said, "What's all this?" And I said, "I just play with that. I don't really write poetry." He said, "Yes, you do." And so he published it as Whispers of Spiritual Wisdom. And the next book that I did, which is the most popular one out there so far, is Before Roswell. Mm-hmm. And I did that with Ken Godsword. And it's about UFO sightings prior to Roswell. And it's really doing incredibly well because, of course, after mm-hmm. Roswell, we had all the conspiracy stuff going on. And before Roswell, when somebody saw a UFO, it was like, "Well, I was plowing the field and I saw this thing in the air. And after I got done milking the cows, I went into town and had a beer and talked about it with my friends." You know, it's mm-hmm. casual stuff. It's yeah. not scary stuff. Yeah. And we go back, I think, a couple hundred thousand years as far mm-hmm. as the different sites that we found. Mm-hmm. So that was an exciting book to do. And then the latest one is I painted the Cosmic Deck of Initiation 30 years ago.
Okay.
And they stopped publishing it, I don't know, maybe about 10 years ago. And I thought always, I mean, you can't get the cards anymore. They have them for sale on eBay for $100 and $200, which is ridiculous.
I know, yeah.
And so a friend who happens to be a publisher said, "Well, I'll republish them." And, you know, he got them. They are republished now, and they're called the Cosmic Deck of Initiation. And he said, "Now, where's the handbook?" And I said, "Funny thing you should ask that." And he said, "Why?" And I said, "Because I never actually wrote it." And he said, "Don't you think it's a good idea after 30 years that you wrote it?" And I said, "I guess so." And so took me 3 months and I channeled the whole thing, and it's full of just the most amazing material that I've ever written. It was as channeled as the cards were when I painted them, and I'm not an artist.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very exciting book. I'm just thrilled with it. And as I was writing the material for it, lots of fabulous information came through that are in the book, like yes, there is spiritual DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes into your body when the spirit enters your body at the moment your heart starts beating.
Mm-hmm.
And the spirit, not soul, spirit brings with it your DNA, and it's intertwined with your human DNA. Mm-hmm. And then at the moment of death, the spirit exits your body, taking with it the DNA.
That's interesting. Interesting. You have with you, I believe, some of these divination cards, and put up a few or show us a few of what you actually draw.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Very colorful.
They're all mandalas.
Okay. So they're called mandalas. Okay.
Yeah. And because it's a cool story with it, I used to do psychic fairs.
Okay.
And I did all sorts of ways of divination.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the people who, you know, and I apologize if I'm insulting anybody. I at that time that I painted these, there are 52 of them.
Mm-hmm.
The only tarot decks that were really out there were the Aquarian deck and the Rider-Waite deck.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that they could be perceived as negative.
Mm-hmm.
Upside down tower, upside down death card. Right. Even if you know it's supposed to mean something of a semi-positive nature, it spooks you out.
Yeah.
So I would, after the fairs, we would get together and have wine and spaghetti. Mm-hmm. And after my second glass of wine, I usually started to trash the tarot cards. And finally, a whole bunch of the tarot card readers sat me down and said, "Now look, you keep saying you could do a deck that would be positive and people couldn't get negatives from." Mm-hmm. I said, "Yes, yeah." And they said, "Do it or shut up."
Mm-hmm.
So 3 months later, I had done the deck. And U.S. Games was publishing it. And so I took the prototype to one of our sessions. Mm-hmm. And I put it on the table and I said, there you go. Mm-hmm. And they were circular. And I said, make them be negative. And after an hour and a half, they gave me the bottle of wine and said, drink up. It's instead of being your traditional oracle deck, mm-hmm. if there is such a thing, it's for spiritual development. It deals with the chakras. Mm-hmm. It deals with the cosmic laws. It deals with the universal energies. It deals with, and then there's some wild, and the astrological signs. Okay. And what it's for is to help you understand yourself better, mm-hmm. so you can grow spiritually and deal with whatever is going on in your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It will not give you a yes and no answer.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in here that will give you a yes or no because you have free will.
Mm-hmm. Barbara, did you say you did eventually create the manual on how to understand the cards? Because, yeah, they're not necessarily your most traditional cards that most people use. But the thing is will people be able to purchase them and understand them on what their meanings are?
Oh, yeah, there's with the deck comes the traditional, you know, the little white book.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this little white book is blue.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, all the material in it is blue. And it's a bigger little white book than usual.
Mm-hmm.
But the handbook is how to use the Cosmic Deck of Initiation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 400 pages of spiritual insight and how to use the deck.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll tell you, why don't we show people? Let's do a little bit of a demonstration here, shall we?
Sure.
Because I think that we'll kind of show people how they operate or how they work or what you're sensing or getting from them. And why don't we start? Let's see. Let me think about this here. Well, why don't we just, I'll be the subject. How's that? Because we have to have a subject. So I will volunteer myself to be a subject.
Okay.
So let's see. You've talked about, I don't know if we want to go into past lives, twin flames, or soulmates. You pick one and see if you can sense something on my energy here. And then as you're going through, kind of help us understand what these cards are coming up with. So I'm going to put it into your hands right now.
Well, let's talk past lives because that's where most of our stuff comes from.
Okay.
And so if I were going to draw a card for you, this is the card that would come up.
Okay.
And it's the universal balance card.
Mm-hmm.
And that is suggesting to you that if indeed there is someone who you feel you have a past life connection to, and everybody has those people, I know you, that type of thing.
Yeah.
This card would suggest that you need to balance yourself. You need to not let yourself be swayed by the fact that there is that kind of magic in your life, because indeed you probably do have past life experiences with a number of people, and yet it's important for you not to get outbalanced, not get swept away by it, by not having it change your life, enlighten your life, absolutely, but change your life or interrupt the pathway you're on now,
mm-hmm.
understanding that this is a past life. That's a life that's all done,
mm-hmm.
and put to bed. So this life, being aware that you have a past life and a past life connection to more than one person probably,
mm-hmm.
means that there's a tendency for you to get over-involved in what that is and forget the life that you're in now. It's kind of like, mm-hmm. don't spend so much time in tomorrow that you lose in yesterday that you lose tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can relate to what you're saying because I'm living a situation like that right now. So that's very, very interesting. So how many cards do you normally draw on an individual for this past life? Some people believe that there are past lives. Some people have a hard time wrapping their head around it. I feel like I have a lot of synchronicities and coincidences with people. In fact, as just a small illustration of that, I was actually born in the same hospital room as a gentleman that I dated back in high school, and we had the same birth date, and that's because we were born in the same room. And then I have found myself, as time has gone on, to have some unusual situations, such as my husband has the same birth date as a gentleman that I dated many, many, many years ago, and this gentleman and I are still friends and stuff, and it's very coincidentally odd. What are your thoughts about those synchronicities and those coincidences?
Most people don't pay attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, they say, well, nothing like that ever happens to me. Well, the reality is it happens to everybody, because mm-hmm. the spirit within you is trying to get messages across to the consciousness awareness of the physical reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you take those coincidences and write them down, you anchor them in reality and open a flow of energy that will encourage other synchronicities or coincidences to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important. The more you anchor them, the more information you get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's things like the phone ringing and you know who it is, finding a parking place when you need to find one, having a dead guy in your backyard that's related to you. that's one of the coolest. But they're all over the place in everybody's life. And the more you become aware of them, the more aware you are of other things in your life, the more your intuition kicks in and your creativity kicks in, and then you start to become the creator of your own reality.
Mm-hmm. And one of the confusing things, especially for many people, especially when they're trying to understand some of this stuff, and I'm going to use past lives again as kind of an illustration here, an example. People get confused because if they recognize in someone else, or they can predict someone else, like, and when the phone is going to ring, when a letter is going to come in the mail, or in our case now, direct messaging or on email or on the phone or whatever, they start to get confused by that. They can be confused by that association. So, for example, this gentleman that has the same birth date as my husband. That's a good illustration, because this gentleman and I have known each other for over 35 years. And then after a while, you begin to question it. Like, what's going on here? Why are we still together? I understand this person. He doesn't have to talk. I know who he is. I understand him. But what happens when people get confused by that possible past life situation? Some of them feel, oh my God, this is my soulmate. Maybe it's a twin flame. What are your thoughts? And give us kind of an example of why it might not be a twin flame or a soulmate or just a past life that's playing out and just needs to be closed. Take it
well,
from
the most frequent is the past life.
Mm-hmm.
As far as a twin flame goes or a soulmate,
mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, but soulmate is something that has been made up by psychics and things like that to get people to come back for more readings.
Mm-hmm.
We do reincarnate in soul families, so that oftentimes we're surrounded by people that have a soul connection. More likely spiritual connection, a spirit connection, because mm-hmm. We have body, we have soul and mind, and we have spirit. And the soul and the mind and the body deteriorate after death. The spirit is what continues. Mm-hmm. So that your spirit is on a journey, and there are going to be many times that you brush up against, or you connect to people who's you've had spiritual connections to in other lifetimes. Mm-hmm. So in a way, that's a spirit connection. But twin flames again is another phrase that so many mystics have utilized.
Mm-hmm.
But a twin flame, I mean, spirits don't split. They aren't twins. They just aren't. I think that people have made a great deal of money creating directions that you know if I say, oh, you're a twin flame and you belong together and you should be together forever. Not the case,
right?
And you have to understand that in past lives you had free will as well. Mm-hmm. In past lives you were together. Mm-hmm. At, you know, for a certain point in time, there is that memory, that recognition, because it was so sweet. Mm-hmm. It was full of creativity and love. It was very, very special. And then you come back to this lifetime where you make a connection and you remember that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And start questioning your life. But understand that what you're feeling is from a past life, not this life.
Mm-hmm.
And this life, you both have had many years of living and changing and growing,
right,
with this personality.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily mean that there is the connection that you remember from the past, though you keep trying to make it happen, but mm-hmm. it won't.
Yeah.
I mean, we grow every lifetime. We change dramatically. I just got connected to a number of years ago, my first love from when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sweet and it was wonderful. And it was 60 years later,
mm-hmm.
I get an email from him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, he's a fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was, you know, I think the universe was saying, you dodged a bullet here, sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it we change. Our spirits are all on independent journeys and we have free will. And unfortunately, our free will is with our consciousness,
mm-hmm.
not with our spirit. Our spirit is probably is a backseat driver like crazy, yelling at you, no, don't do this, go do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a matter of finding a new balance within your system.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that past lives are fascinating in that if you are finding remembrances of them, some of the lessons that were that you experienced and went through in that past lifetime are probably lessons you're still working on this lifetime.
Mm-hmm. And can you have more than one? I know that I had a situation, even with a new girlfriend, a girlfriend that I had met while I was going through my PhD work. And she and I were no different than me and an old boyfriend, let's say, or whatever. I knew exactly. In fact, in her case, I could actually feel body parts hurting or headache or arm hurting or this or that or whatever. And we would be so in tune with each other that we always called each other our twin, right? Hi, twin, how you doing? Da, da, da. How did your week go this week? Oh, it's terrible, blah, 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 blah. Well, it's either something else out there. But I noticed that even with someone who's not of the opposite sex, and it doesn't matter what sex you are, but it's just an illustration that whether it's an old boyfriend or whether it's a new acquaintance, female friend, that you can still have these types of energies play out. What are your thoughts on that, Barbara?
That's your spirit telling you you have this ability. You can apply it to anybody you want to.
Yeah.
And it's giving you a hint that you have this talent.
Mm-hmm.
And you're pulling it back to just one person when the reality is you could do it with anybody.
Interesting.
You have empathic talents. Start stretching them.
Yeah, for me, I've been told I need to get back in the metaphysical shop this year somehow, or on workshops or whatever, or get in front of somebody. I've had telepathy, psychokinesis, telekinesis, clairaudient, clairvoyant. I can go down the whole list with you. I've had mm-hmm. so many experiences, but I'm very open to a lot of this stuff, to the point where I'm very connective, especially when it comes to like going into casinos. I can sit down and basically win off of most machines that I have been instructed intuitively or telepathically to sit down and play a machine. And a lot of times I don't like to play all the machines that whatever is recommending, but I have found that I win a lot of jackpots just on the basis of something telepathic about me, and I can't explain that. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's one place where you're following your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that you know, we all have an incredible, I mean, our bodies are like cars.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, every lifetime you get a new car, you get a new body in which your spirit travels. And the only trouble is that the owner's manual, the toolkit, you don't have the handbook.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get an indication that there is a talent or leaning towards something, mm-hmm. it's your spirit saying, check this out, use this. Now, I'm not saying that you should play lotteries and things like that,
yeah.
but you know, you're following what your intuition tells you with something like that. But there are other areas that you can use all the clairs with. I mean, yeah. they're a wonderful group of gifts. Mm-hmm. And the more of them that you develop, that you utilize, that you work with and work on, being open and spiritual and psychic and empathetic and all that, it's like a muscle.
Yeah.
You know, the more you use it, the more you develop it, the better you are at it.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got stuff that you're really, really good at, and then other stuff you haven't played with yet. I play a lot.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by a lot of this stuff. You know, it really, again, I have to go right back to what you said in the beginning, because it just kind of struck me, kind of like an invitation, just about the time I'm good. I don't need to have an experience or whatever. Something new comes in before me or in front of me that continues to keep me evolving. And maybe a lot of you, our listeners and our guests that are watching tonight, can feel the same way. It's like an open invitation. So have you had, and it sounds like you've had, many, many open invitations throughout life. Where are you at now? Because you've had this whole journey, right? And so do you have a latest invitation that something has put before you? What's going on now?
Well, I painted the mandala cards, and I'm not an artist, but mm-hmm. I sold 500 personal mandalas.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you define an artist, someone who actually makes money selling their artwork, I guess I am. Mm-hmm. But and I never considered myself a writer, and yet, you know, there are 3 books and maybe 4 or 5 more coming.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm always open to what falls in my lap.
Mm-hmm.
And I try not to anticipate it. There are 3 books that are definitely in the works,
mm-hmm.
that are going to be written. One is 101 Spiritual Questions.
Mm-hmm.
One is called What If?
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple of fictional books as well. So they're going on there. I am becoming more techie,
mm-hmm.
which is, I cringe at it. you know, my computer tech guy said, you know, you're in a business. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm giving everything away. Don't tell me I'm in a business. He said, this is a business. We have to do these computer things. And mm-hmm. I am kicking and screaming on this one, being drawn into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have often found that waiting patiently for something to come,
yeah.
without my making it come.
Yeah.
And it's that way with relationships. I don't think I ever intentionally looked for a relationship, but they usually just fell in my lap.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's been fascinating. I didn't look at wanting to do interview shows,
mm-hmm.
and be the interviewee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm much more comfortable with interviewer.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last 4 months, I've done 40 shows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's like, you know, you got to be kidding me.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. again, it falls in my lap. And my mantra these days is, if I've never done it, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to go back and, you know, if I've been there and done that, I don't want to do it again.
That's, you and I have a lot in common here. I mean, that's kind of, you just kind of spelled out the story also of my life. And I find it interesting how I discovered you. I find it interesting how when you're talking and we're chatting here that I see so many, and maybe those of you out there who are watching and listening can also relate to this, but I can relate to this, okay? And like what you said, I do it once or twice, and I just don't want to really go back and do it again. I don't know what the reason is. Well, for me, it's like, well, I already know the outcome or been there, done that. Let's keep going and evolving or having something different or whatever. I maybe you can relate to this. I kind of thirst for adventure, newness. Does that make sense to you?
I got a call a long time ago. Somebody said to me, do you speak at women's luncheons?
Mm.
And I said, certainly. Now I speak and I have lunch with ladies. So I figured, sure.
Yeah.
Never had. And so, you know, I made the date and the woman said, what do you charge? And I said, well, what did last year's lecturer charge? And it was way, way more than I would have even thought of. I said, that's good. I'll do that. Yeah. And I did it and it was fun. I don't need to do it again. I got free lunch though. It was really cool. but it's, I'm open to just about anything. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do what I've done forever. Yeah. I love my radio show.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I've done that for 14 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, and that was another case of it. Somebody asked me to be a guest on their radio show. And I said, where's the studio? And she said, oh, no, it's on the phone. And after I did it, I asked, you know, I said, can I come watch you do it, you know, your next show? And she said, sure. And I took a look and I said, well, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And there, that was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like I wait to be invited. And here's the thing. Yeah. If you wait to be invited, you know that there's success right there.
Yeah.
If you think you should do something, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
Because that's the ego.
Mm-hmm.
And chances are, when the cards were done, the publisher took me to Anaheim to the ABA.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I'll demonstrate the cards. And he said, well, nobody does that. And I said, is it against the law? And he said, no. And I said, then I'll do readings.
Oh.
And I mean, the lines were huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the next year, everybody had a reader.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I didn't have to go. But it's kind of like, do something unique, do something different. And there were times my friends would say to me, you know, you're not doing anything really new. And I said, and I would say, I'm waiting. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what are you waiting for? And I said, I'm waiting for the call.
Yeah.
And the call comes, I'll do it. And I have done some rather bizarre and unique things, but they were fun and I don't need to do them over again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So it's you have to wait for it to come to you. And, you know, people out there are saying, you know, make it happen, do it, you know, and I disagree. I think that when the time is right, you know, the portal opens and you get the invitation and you don't have to take it,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, if you wait and if you're, it's kind of like some people say, well, I don't have a real boyfriend, but I have a guy that I do things with. And then I usually say, well, so Mr. Right can't sit down in the chair if Mr. Wrong is already sitting there. I'd be brave enough to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll attract exactly who you are. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like the people that are coming into your life, then change yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't criticize the crowd. Change yourself and create a new crowd.
Mm-hmm. I think that is absolutely exceptional advice. And I think that is something that people should sit up and take notice of. And I agree with you. If you try to force something, then when you're forcing it, it's almost like, and I've done this, you know, there are times when I wanted jobs so badly that I would sit there and do just about anything to force the energy, and then the energy, sometimes you feel that resistance.
Yeah.
There's a resistance of that energy. But and I can relate to you, Barbara, because six, seven, 8 years ago, before I started podcasting or anything like that, I didn't even know what a podcast was. People are like, oh, are you a podcaster? And then they'd fall over backwards when you say, I guess I'm podcasting. And they would think that you're just like God. And I'm like, I don't get it, you know. And then that went to books. And then that went to more going up the ladder and in ratings. And then that went to a TV show and the talk show we have. And now it's going to a documentary and or slash a couple documentaries, which it has always been a dream. We can all dream. And and I have a friend right now who's pushing. She's pushing. I can feel that push. And it's like, just sit back and relax. And let time be the driver of your situation. And that's, I can feel that now with people, because for me, I'm not in any hurry anymore. I would like to get my bucket list done. But on the other hand, you know what it's like when you push too hard and you actually think you've achieved it? Sometimes these things can be the biggest failure, not failure, but bad learning experience, or it could be a bad learning experience that you've had because you were overly anxious. I don't know if your thoughts are the same on that, but that's been my experience anyway.
Oh, absolutely. I have achieved proving that that's what happens. When I went to the ABA, I was approached by some bookstores and they asked if you ever did bookstores. And I said, of course. Mm-hmm. And I did them and they were very successful. So I basically said, okay, universe, I've got it. You want me to do bookstores.
Right.
So I created these promo folders. Mm-hmm. They cost me maybe $100 a piece. Mm-hmm. And I contacted bookstores all over the country. I think there were 20 of them. Yeah. And called the stores, spoke with the owners. Would you like to see the book? You know, and oh yeah, absolutely. Sounds great. Sounds interesting. mailed out all of these folders, mm-hmm. these books, along with a self-addressed stamped envelope for them to send it back if it wasn't appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Want to guess on how many people booked me and or sent the book back?
Mm.
None.
Yeah, I was going to say one, but I didn't want to sound... My gut feeling was one, because usually out of several, I've learned this a long time ago. If you have 10 people and you need them to all stand up for you for some reason, you'll be lucky to get half or one at the most that will. That's interesting, though, that they did not, because, okay, but then all of a sudden, did another avenue open up for you where it kind of changed that dynamic?
I found that the bookstore owners had to experience a reading and then they would book me.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, okay, I'm still teaching and stuff like that. But when the round cosmic deck cards, they stopped publishing them.
Mm-hmm.
And the publisher said, well, I'll publish them for you, but it'll cost you $6 a deck and you have to order 3,000. And I mm-hmm. said, no,
right.
I don't think so. And just earlier this year, I ran in, you know, the publisher that published my books, we were talking and I said, well, I always wanted to republish the Cosmic Deck, but, couldn't afford it. And he said, oh, well, I'll do it for you. Mm-hmm. And he did it for free.
Oh my.
So you wait and you see if it's right. And actually I like the new deck even better than the older deck.
It's kind of interesting, really. Because people aren't always on the same journey at the same time.
Exactly.
And yep. And what people need, and again, going back to the pushing, you can't always push. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people that I know right now that are very overly anxious about wanting certain things. Mm-hmm. I'm not overly anxious anymore. And it's kind of just different. And things do. I mean, the other day, literally, Barbara, I had said, I could certainly go for talking on somebody's radio program again. Once in a while, I don't mind being a guest on someone's radio program. And I kid you not, yesterday morning, I just put it out there and I said, I wouldn't mind it, you know, and went on with my day. Next thing you know it, I'm getting notified. Would you please, or would you like to be a guest on our show? We had a cancellation. Basically, I was filler, I suppose. But, you know, the thing is filler or not, they actually asked me and wanted me to see if I would fill in. It's kind of like, wow, that's something else. I just asked for that. And it came to me, are the moon and the stars lining up? Or is it the fact that I just know how to manifest this stuff in a different way? I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's probably a little bit of both. I think that you didn't put any conditions on it. You said, I wouldn't mind.
I said, I didn't mind.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't care. If it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And, you know,
yeah.
If it's sort of like if you're desperate and pleading, forget it. It won't happen.
Right.
And a lot of it is, too, because, you know, you're not ready for it to happen. I think lots of times, you know, lots of times we want things that we're just not ready for.
Yeah.
Or if they did come, you know, it would upset the flow of your life to a degree. And, you know, so I'm real careful about, and I'm very careful about never saying never too, because the minute never comes out of your mouth, you know, just, you know, it's coming.
Yeah. So. Yep. And I hate the word, by the way, I hate the word should, you know, or I deserve. I hate those two words. I'm sorry, everybody, but I should and I deserve. It's like, no. Take those out of your vocabulary, because the minute you remove some of these terms, you're going to find a whole different, maybe a different result. Not necessarily negative, but I'm telling you, I used to teach and stuff, and I would, my students, I'm like, I don't want to see you writing should on anything, because it's like, you know, shoulda, coulda, had a whatever. So, oh yeah. No, you and I, Barbara, we have a lot in common here. So as we do a little wrap up, and I hate doing wrap ups because I probably could go on with topics for you forever and we could just go, yep. Let's talk a little bit then about where we can find you, what kind of, again, remind us of the books that you have out and how to get your divination cards, if that, some of your websites, and if people want a reading, how do they find you? So take it from there.
Okay, well, the website is barbaradelong.com. Very easy. And all of the material is really there, whether it's contacting me or looking for the cards. It's all on that website, the YouTube channel, the radio channel. There is a website for the deck of cards. It's called cosmicdeckofinitiation.com. That link is also on my website. Mm-hmm. I guess the best thing to say is the website has it all. It's an umbrella. It's got all of the material on it. And it's full of really fun, cool material. I really have had a lot of fun putting it together. And as far as the handbook for the Cosmic Deck, that is probably, I think, one of the best things I have ever written. And there's humor and there's information and there's guidance. And it's really a profound book.
Very good. And then, so we've got that. And then if they want a reading from you, is that on your website?
You can contact me from the website and, you know, I'll answer. And also the Blog Talk Radio show is Nightlight Radio. Yep. And that link is on the website as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So everyone, you've got a whole bunch of homework to do here. On that note, Barbara, thank you so much for being a guest tonight.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Dr. Schutz welcomes your emails and paranormal stories. Visit her website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com for contact information, or go to amazon.com to view her books, searching under Paranormal Encounters. Thanks for listening. Take care. And until next time,
be careful what you wish for.
The script, vocal talent, and music compositions in this podcast program are copyrighted. As a disclaimer, this podcast episode or parts thereof may not be reproduced, reposted, or transmitted in any form without the express permission from the producer and company, Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, or Para-X Radio Network. Any opinion or claim made in any podcast episode by the host or guest does not necessarily represent the viewpoints of Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, Para-X Radio Network, or its sponsors. Properties mentioned in any podcast are publicly known to be haunted or have been discovered to have unexplained occurrences. If you are a ghost seeker, please take precautions and respect people's properties by not trespassing.